We've kind of covered one verse, but that was a powerful verse.
Yeah.
I usually underline a lot in my Bible, but I underlined that first word there in verse 5, remember.
Yeah, remember.
So important, remember. What the disciples didn't do when Jesus was walking out on the water, and, I mean, when he was talking to them about the letters, the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they thought, he's saying this because we've got to get bread. He says, no. You've got a hard heart because you have not considered the miracles that we did at feeding the 5,000.
Yeah.
Haven't considered. You haven't thought about it. You didn't remember. Mm-hmm. You got to remember. You got to think about it. So mm-hmm. important. That's very good.
Yeah.
Candace is also going to do something very good for us.
Yeah.
Bring us the word of the Lord through song.
Amen. Yes.
So do so, please, Candace.
When you're alone in your closet and you just mention the name of Jesus, the whole room just fills with his presence. Right? And that's what I wanted to sing today, is the mention of your name. So join in with me in worship. Mm-hmm. You're here with the grace of the Savior, the heart of the Father. You're all we need, and you're here of the healer, with the power of your spirit, you're all we need, yes, Lord. At the mention of your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Thank you. I know everything will change. Jesus, just a whisper of your name. It will silence wind and waves at the mention of. Every chain will break. I know everything will change. Jesus, just the whisper of your name will silence wind and waves at the mention. At the mention.
In his stead, all right, and he talks about the name of Jesus. So we'll be talking about that a little bit in the future. Get an opportunity to do that. But if you get an opportunity to go on YouTube and search the words Curry Blake and in his stead, you'll get a preview of it, or you can really get the whole thing. But I'll break it up in parts and bring it to you. But today I want to talk about something else. It's related actually, but. You know, we see Jesus, and of course, if we were to look at Hollywood, and Hollywood did it the way they wanted to do it, they would have Jesus going and taking a nice sharp sword that was made out of virgin iron ore, and it was, you know, forged just right. Shined up and it's all nice and shiny, and with that sword he goes around and casts out demons out of people, right? I mean, if that was Hollywood, I mean that's what you would see, right? Out here wielding this sword and casting out demons and all that kind of stuff. But you know, that's not the way the Bible has it, is it? That's not the way the Bible has it. The Bible has the truth.
Amen.
And the Bible says that Jesus went around casting out demons with a
word.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother David. He cast out demons with a word. Well, that's not impressive. I mean, come on. Where's the sword? Where's the Uzi? Gun or the machete? That's impressive. That's what Hollywood thinks is impressive. But no, the Bible says he did it with a word. He would just speak to them. That's pretty powerful. Think about it. That's pretty powerful. My children, my boys, they love all these Marvel movies and all that come out, you know, with the Hulk and Thor and Iron Man and all the other heroes and stuff. And so occasionally they'll ask me, all right, now, who do you think is the mightiest person, you know, mightiest superhero of all? Who's the mightiest? Who's the strongest? One that nobody can defeat? Is it Hulk? Is it Thor? Is it Iron Man? Is it Captain America? You know, who is the mightiest? And I said, well, that's easy. That's easy to know who the mightiest is. The mightiest is actually a supervillain. He's not a hero. He's a villain. Who are you talking about? Who are you talking about? I said, the mightiest one in the Marvel Universe, as they say, in the comic books, writers, script writers and everything, is a guy known as Molecule Man. Never heard of him, right? Molecule Man. Yeah. Well, I used to read comics way back in the 60s when I was young. And this guy came out, and I thought, this guy's the most powerful person of all. He's more powerful than all the other guys combined, put together. It's because the way they presented him, he could control the molecules of anything by speaking. By speaking. He could just speak, and the molecules of air or anything around could just change into whatever and go wherever he wanted them to go and do whatever he wanted them to do. That's pretty powerful. Think about it. Think about it. Everything's made out of molecules, right? And if you can control that, you can control everything, right? And sure enough, a little bit later on, they wrote a big long story of lasted over a year in the comic books and stuff, and this guy was in it. And although he did several things, he wasn't the big star of the whole thing, but he did one thing that was the most fantastic feat he had ever done. Well, what was it, do you think? They had him speak to a giant mountain. It lifted up, came down in the place where he wanted it to come to. Where do you think he got that from? Where do you think that script writer got that from? These guys read the Bible for inspiration. They write their comic books. Yeah. The Bible is the source of all knowledge. I mean, it's incredible. You know? But I got to thinking about that. The power of words. The power of words.
Jesus holding all things by the word of his power. Everything is controlled by Jesus' words.
It's not the power of his word, but the word of his power. So I wanted us to look at this. It would probably take more than one day, but I wanted us to look at this because we're told to pray.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does our prayers have power? Do our prayers have power? Yeah. Yes, if we got the faith behind it, right? If we got the faith behind it. Yeah. So, let's do a little bit of exercise here. Y'all ready to exercise? I mean, I tell you, this Molecule Man, by the way, he was the scrawniest looking guy you could find. He didn't have giant muscles. He didn't have long hair. He didn't have armor. He just looked like a regular person. Wasn't even tall. Wasn't muscular. But he could speak. And he got done. Right? Well, you know what? Every one of us. It doesn't matter what kind of muscles we got. Or anything else. If we got the faith, we speak the word, it'll be done. And the thing, picking up a mountain and tossing it, oh, that just takes a little bit of faith. Just a little bit of faith to do that. That's no problem. Boy, if we could just grab hold of that. If we could just grab hold of that, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? So let's talk a little bit about the power of words and just do this exercise with me, okay? I talked about last week or the week before, just briefly earlier, I said, God wants things to be the way he designed them to be. Right? Mm-hmm. I said, God wants things to be according to his design specifications.
Yeah.
Right? Well, what was his design? Where do we see his design specifications? We see them in Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
They were created the way he wanted them to be created. Mm-hmm. Right? It was exactly the way he wanted them to be created. Did they have cavities in their teeth?
No.
Were their eyes dim?
No.
Was their hearing weak?
No.
They were the way he made them, right? So let's just speak that over our bodies, okay? All right? Let's just say, y'all just repeat after me. we got to regenerate. You know what generate is, don't you? Genesis, right? Regenerate, remake the according to God's design specifications for us.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so let's speak to our bodies.
Yeah.
Do the work of God. Do the kingdom's work. Right? Thy will be done.
Yeah.
Thy kingdom come. Mm-hmm. Right? On earth, in me, as it is in heaven.
Yes.
Right? In heaven, it's just the way he wants it. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
We want it done on earth, just the way he wants it. Right?
Yeah.
So let's just speak to our bodies. You speak to your bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Mouth and teeth, regenerate.
Mouth, teeth, regenerate.
Eyes and ears, regenerate.
Eyes and ears, regenerate.
Hair and scalp, regenerate.
Hair and scalp, regenerate.
Yeah, y'all got it? Yeah. Organs and skin, regenerate.
Organs and skin, regenerate.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know what? You say that in faith, your body has got to respond. Your body has to respond.
Amen.
To the will of God. The will of God is for our bodies to be healthy.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So we just have to enforce the will of God on earth. I mean, that's what we're here for, right? We're going to enforce it.
That's right.
Amen. Didn't you know what Jesus did?
Yep.
He enforced the will of God on earth.
Mm-hmm.
He said, be healed. And they were healed.
Amen.
Demons be gone. They were gone. Right? So if he did it one word somehow. You know. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying, though. This is how we overcome. This is how we establish the kingdom.
Amen.
All right? We don't need a big, fancy, shining sword. We don't need a machine gun. We don't need any of these things. We got what we need.
Yeah.
We just speak, and it's done.
Yeah.
Just like Jesus did.
Amen.
Because we have the Spirit of Jesus in us.
Yeah. You know, Revelation, he said a sword is coming out of his mouth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But when we speak it, it's just like a sword. It's coming out of our mouth.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to look at a few, I don't know how many we'll get to, but we'll look at a few scripture verses to kind of get us started on this, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to turn there because I'm sure you all know this. Genesis 1,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Everything was established how? God spoke, yes, by words. God spoke. And God said,
yeah.
Boom. And it was done. Right? And God said. You know, Brother David, don't you wish you had that giant cosmic crane that God used to make the earth? And all the stars, he had this giant crane that he used. The giant bulldozer. Wouldn't you have that giant bulldozer, you know, that he used to push the dirt around and all that? Huh? Yeah. No, he didn't use that, did he? He didn't need it. He says, I got a better way. And I'm going to give that way to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I'm going to give that way to you. You use the same way. And Jesus used that same way. Amen? All right. Words. You remember the Tower of Babel? Everybody remember the Tower of Babel? And God said, you know, I've got to do something because these people, if they let, you know, the way they're going, he says, nothing will be impossible for them.
That's right.
So, God came down and took his big foot and just stomped that tower into nothing, right? Huh? I mean, he just called hailstones to come down and destroy that tower, right? No, he didn't do that. But he did what? He guided the source of their power, and he confused their speech. He confused their speech. Right? Wow. Simple, powerful. Simple and powerful. Man, think of the power of that. Okay, Exodus 3:9. And you can turn to these, I'll be going kind of fast. But it's very simple, one verse here. Tell you what, you go to Ephesians 3:9, we'll jump over to Ephesians 4. Excuse me, I said Ephesians. Exodus 3:9. Exodus 3:9. Here are the people of the children of Israel, if you will, people of Israel. They're in Egypt. They've been there. They're under oppression. They're having to work, basically slaves. How are they going to get out of this? How are they going to get out of this? What can they do? They're strong, because they were, right? They're strong. They're very numerous. The Egyptians are afraid of them. They're very numerous. But what's going to get them out of this? In Exodus 3:9, God is telling Moses, listen. He says, now behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. Moreover, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. So I'm choosing you, Moses, to go out and take care of it. I've heard their cry. I've heard their cry. I've heard their cry. They spoke. They spoke and God heard them. God responded. Amen? Think about that. That's a little bit different way than we normally think about the power of words, right? But you know, God listens to the cry of his children. He listens to your words. That's what prayer is all about, right? Well, we have the ear of God. We have the ear of God. Exodus 4:8, if you want to turn the page or just look over the next page for the next chapter. Exodus 4:8, it says, he's talking to Moses. And he said, now Moses, when you come down to Egypt, you're going to go into Pharaoh. But first, you got to talk to the children of Israel and convince them that you're there to help them out, right? You got to convince them. And I'm going to give you a couple of signs that you can do. You can, you know, take your stick and throw it down, it'll become a snake. You pick it up, it'll become a stick again. That's a sign. You can put your hand in your garment, right? Pull it out, it'll be leprous. Put it back in, pull it out, and be gone. Those are two signs you can give them, right? But then he says, God says in verse 8, he says, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe you, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. Now that's kind of strange language, don't you think? Don't you think that's kind of strange? The voice of the first sign? The voice of the latter sign? Why did he say voice? Why did he say voice? These signs, they were just physical actions, right? But he's saying the voice. These signs have power, similar to the speaking. He says, listen, listen, see the sign and get it. Right? Verse 8, and it shall come to pass that they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto your voice. If they won't even believe your voice. Then you shall take of the water of the river and pour it onto the dry land, and the water which you take out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Whoa. Moses is still trying to wiggle out of it. Right? He's kind of trying to come up with every excuse he can come up with. Right? Sound like anybody familiar to you? Sounds like us, don't it? Sometimes when the Lord tells us to do something, we'll just come up with every excuse we can think of. Right? I mean, that's sad, but I mean, I do it, you know. But God replies to him. He said, who made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. That ought to be enough. That ought to be enough. I will teach you. I will be with your mouth. I made the mouth. I made your mouth. And don't worry about it. When you get there, I'll take care of it. Well, we know it didn't quite work out that way. He got Aaron to have him. You know? But God works with us wherever our faith is. And he had to work with Moses where his faith was. All right? So that's okay. But think of the power of our words. The power. The voice of the signs.
Where did you get the voice of the signs?
Where did I get that? That's Exodus 4, 8. I'm sorry. Is that not the question?
Oh, okay. Verse 8 has the voice.
Yes. Okay. Exodus 4, 8 has the voice. Voice of the first sign, the voice of the latter sign, it says here. Anyway, if signs have voices to show their power, wow, our words have power. Just our words have power. Okay? So I want you to be thinking about this in the coming week, okay? And think about, oh, what I say has power. What I say in faith has power. So I better be careful what I say. All right? And when I look at the sky and it looks foreboding, and it looks like it might have the power to really cause some damage, be careful. I don't want to say that the storm is going to cause some damage. I'll just rebuke the storm.
Yeah.
All right? Now, don't you cause damage. Don't even come near me.
Yeah.
Amen?
Works.
Amen. Oh, there you go. It works. All right. So let's speak good words over people. Let's speak good words over people. And we'll talk about, hopefully next time, about a guy who believed that. He believed that his words affected people. And you know what? They did. And the Bible backs him up. Backs him up. So, Father, we thank you so much that you've given this power to mortal men, to weak vessels, which we are. But we know that with you in us, we are more powerful than anything. We thank you for that, Father. We're more powerful than the most powerful superhero or the biggest crane or the biggest bulldozer, Father. Because you are in us. Your words in us are more powerful than anything else. Father, we thank you. We ask you to be with us. Help us to speak your kingdom into existence in our lives and in the lives of others. And Father, everything that we think, do, and say, we ask your presence to be with us, that we may show the love of Christ to all people. Bless this food and bless our fellowship today. And bless the pastors that he speaks, Father. Bring words that he says out to speak to our hearts. Let us pull from him the things you want us to hear. We thank you for that, Father. Amen.
Amen.